Psalms 46. It's a very familiar scripture this morning. I know we kind of went through Psalms 46 Wednesday night, but as I studied this week, God brought us back to a passage in this scripture that really encouraged our hearts, and I want to be an encouragement to you this morning and pray that you are gathered somewhere around your Bible and let God speak to you. Pray for your preacher this morning. I sure do need it. As we can still trust God. I love that song that she sings, that I still trust you. And it's easy to say we do, but it's a little bit harder to show that we do. And we have to trust Him in the days that lie ahead. So Psalms 46, I'm going to read just one phrase out of a verse, and that's verse number 10 of Psalms 46, and I'll share with you with what God's given me. The Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." Would you pray for us this morning? Father, we love you this morning. We trust you this morning. We pray, God, that you'd make preaching easy. We pray, God, that it would just plant seeds throughout the communities. God, and everybody under the sound of our voice, God, that we might just draw strength from you. Lord, we love you this morning, and we know that we're nothing without you. Would you just touch us this morning and breathe on us? Pray that you'd make preaching easy. And all those that are standing behind pulpits and desks this morning, God, speak to us, Father, the words of truth. Father, we'll be careful to thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' sweet name we do pray. Amen and amen. This verse that the psalmist wrote, he said, "Be still and know that I am God." I love that in these days that we're living in, that we can see about this being still. To be still means to stop as emotion, to be silent, calm, and quiet. It also means waiting upon God without fear or distrust, putting our cares into God's hands. We should not be anxious, nor impatient, nor reckless in the days that we're living in, because, friends, God is still on the throne. And I'm afraid that today's times that we have become patient, we've become impatient, anxious and reckless in these times because we're so used to being in such a hurry, and we see that everything that's going on in the United States and worldwide, that God has kind of made us just stand still. He's made us just kind of just stop what we're doing. We've lost a little bit of that pleasure, that luxury of what we was used to of coming and going with this virus going around. But I'm here to tell you this morning that none of this surprised God. There's nothing that God is confused about. He is not up there shaking his head. He knows exactly what's going to happen and what needs to be done. And friends, we can still trust in God. But I'm afraid that the days we're living in was a hurry that God had to just say, slow down. And he told us in this verse that the psalmist had pinned down, but it speaks so true to us where he says, be still. Be still. If we just are still today, there is knowledge in stopping and looking up to Jesus. I'm reminded in Exodus 14:13 where Moses told the children, he said, stand still. He said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's the same as today. All he wants us to do is just stand still and trust him. But you might be asking, preacher, it's hard. Why be still when things around us look so unsettled? And it does look a little unsettled to us because a lot of times we're looking at it not through scriptural eyes. We're not looking through faith. We're looking through the physical eyesight. We see things being shut down. We see the grocery stores empty. We see where it looks like the whole world's in chaos. But I'm here to tell you there is peace in God today. If we'll just look in our Bibles, I want to give you five things about this being still. Number one, we need to be still because God wants us to find Him. God wants us to find Him. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, I want to look through what God told Solomon here. He told Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. He said, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." Now listen, this is where it gets good, verse 14. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." God's saying that we need a revival. And with all this going on, there's no greater time than for us to have a revival. And friends, the revival starts in your heart. The Bible teaches us right here, there's steps necessary for this revival, this blessing that God gives. He talks about humility. He talks about prayer. He talks about devotion. And He talks about repentance. God wants us to stand still and find Him today. But what are we looking for? What are we looking at? Where's our eyes at today? What is it that we're, are we casting on today? What is it that has so much got us where we're looking at everything but God? I believe now more than ever is the time that we need to stop and have our eyes on God. He said, if my people, I love that verse about my people that he says right there. Not only does he want us to stand still and find God, but he also wants us to stand still because he wants us to feel him. Not just find him, but feel him. In Psalm 34, the book of Psalms, in the 34th Psalm, he says in verse 18 and 19, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. I'm glad that He's ready to help and He's ready to hear whenever we call upon Him. Listen to verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all, every one of them. God is our source of power, of courage, and of wisdom. But I want to remind you again, look in verse 8, back up to verse 8. The psalmist said, this is David talking. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. David says, just try God out and see what He has to offer you. I'm telling you that God is faithful, God is loving, and God is good to us all. He said, try Him out. God wants us to feel Him. Thirdly, we need to be still because God wants us to focus on Him. God wants us to keep our focus on Him. In Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 24 and 25, if you will, turn with me there. Matthew 6 and verse 24 and 25. Listen to these scriptures. It says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink. Is that not today the day that we're living in? Everybody's worried about where we're going to get our groceries. What are we going to drink? Are we going to starve to death? Keep listening. Nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God wants us to focus on Him. Where is our focus? What is our loyalty to today? Where is our priorities at today? He said in that verse, to seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm afraid that right now there's a lot of us, we're seeking to stand in line at Walmart and Kroger's, hoping we can get the nutritional items, hoping we can get toilet paper, hoping we can get canned food, hoping we can get meat. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. There's no reason to worry about what we're going to eat. There's no reason to worry about what we're going to drink. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, He shall give us all of our needs. He shall supply our needs. He will give us everything we stand in need of. God is not up there waiting on us to tell Him everything we need. He wants us to talk to Him, but God already knows us. And don't let that forsake your prayer life. We need to be talking to God. God knows what we need, but we need to seek Him first, and He'll supply everything that we need. What is our focus on today? What are we focused on? What is it that has just got us in this time? I had a friend send me a text this morning that shared some scriptures and some more thoughts, and it said, what if God has allowed everything to shut down because our focus is everywhere else? I'm guilty today of talking about sports, missing sports in this time. What if we made sports our God? And God says, no, it's time to turn the same around. What if we make TV shows our God, and God says, well, I'll just shut down everything in Hollywood? What if God says, you've made so many things in this world your God. Why don't you shut it all down when you've got to focus on it? And friends, we need to be focused on God. Now is not the time to be fearful, to be worried about everything that's going on. We don't need those things. We don't need sports figures. We don't need Hollywood. All we need is our King James Bible and a word from God, and that will get us through everything that we need today. But where's our loyalty lie? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he said, you can't serve God on mammon. You can't try to serve the material things of the world. You can't be chasing the money. I know that we need money to pay bills. We need money to do the things that we need to do. We need money to put gas in our car. We need money to pay our heat and electric bill. We need money to put groceries on our table. God knows that too. But the problem is not that we have to work for money, but it's when we allow money to take over our thoughts. The love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. Didn't say having money. It said the love of money is the root of all evil. We have put priority over money, over jobs and accomplishments and things like that. And there's nothing wrong with having big dreams, reaching for promotions and things like that. I went to school because I wanted a promotion. I wanted to better provide for my family. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem would become when I put all that above God. And it's not right. There's nothing wrong with that. God blesses a lot of people high up in a lot of companies. The Bible says that the sun shines on the just and the unjust. It rains on the just and the unjust. A lot of times we think, well, we don't have nothing because God's mad at us. But if you realize today that if we put our priority in God, we've got everything that we stand in need of today. He said, I let the flowers grow. He said, I feed the birds. Are we not more important than that? We've made after His own image. He's going to take care of what we need today. Don't let everything around you have you in such a fear or a panic. We just need to take a few steps back and just breathe. Do as the psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. Don't just read that today, church. Focus on that verse and let God speak to you. Not only should we stand still because God wants us to find Him, and God wants us to feel Him, and God wants us to focus on Him, but let me give you this one right here. We need to stand still because God wants us to fear Him. Hebrews chapter number 12. Let me give you these verses right here. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon wrote about this 11th verse when he says, my son, despise not the chastenings of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. God's correction shows us His love. It trains us to be obedient and produces fruits of righteousness in our lives. That's what it does. A lot of people say, well, I want to be perfect because I don't want God to chasten me. I don't want to be corrected. I don't like to be corrected. I've been around people that say, I don't like to be corrected. I don't like when people tell me what to do. But I'm here to tell you, we need God to tell us what to do. It's not in our flesh to obey God. It's not in our flesh to always do the right thing. I know we see people that give away everything they've got to charity. They give you a shirt off their back. But I'm here to tell you, we need God to correct us. And the reason He corrects us is because He loves us. It says that we are His sons. 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 6, or it might be that first verse in chapter 7, where it says we can be a family. He'll be our father. We'll be His children. I'm glad today that there's some of us that don't have no family left. Some have died on. They've passed on. Some of them have just up and left. We see it every day. Mamas and daddies, they walk out the door. But I'm glad today when everybody else leaves us, God said, I'll be there. If we'll just stand still and know that He is God, as the psalmist said. Stand still. We need the correction in our life. We need to be still today because God wants us to find Him and He wants us to feel Him. He wants us to focus on Him and He wants us to fear Him. But let me leave you with this last point right here. We need to be still and know that He is God because God wants to fix us. But do you want to change? You might say, preacher, I don't need no fixing. I don't cause no problems. I don't lie. I don't steal. I don't cheat. I don't do nothing that I'm not supposed to. I don't talk ugly. I don't go anywhere I shouldn't. I don't hang around nobody I shouldn't. But let me tell you something. We all have a sin nature in us. None of us are perfect. All sin and fall short of the glory of God is what Paul pinned down in Romans. We all need help. We all need fixing. And why not let God fix this? You know, a lot of times we've got people that we go to all the time and says, well, why don't you do this? And why don't you do that? And if I was you, I'd handle it like this. And you know, and it makes me want to say sometimes, if everybody's got all these answers, why don't I just give them my bill and let them just pay them and let them take care of my problems? They already know it all anyway. I'm going to take my cares and my troubles to God that wants to fix me. And you know what He wants out of me? I struggle in my life sometimes thinking, I feel so inept and so that I don't know why God would choose me. I don't know why God would want me to be an under-shepherd to the shepherd. I don't know why God would want me to pastor a church. I wonder, I'm like, God, there's so many more that can talk better. There's so many more that can probably love more. There's so many more that can do that. Until one day I had a preacher friend tell me, God already knows about you. God knows what you're capable of. God knows what's inside of you. I'm glad that, you know what, today I know these people that want to go to these abortion clinics, they don't think like this, but let me tell you something. The Bible says that God knows us from our wombs, is what He told Jeremiah. It's not tissue, it's a baby in there. And God already knows that. We need to let God fix us. Look what it says right here. I want to give you this scripture out of 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. It's a good book here today that'll help us. Verse 10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while." And let me tell you something, church. We really ain't suffering. We think we're suffering by being stuck in our homes. We think we're suffering by not being able to go and come and go as we please and all that. You remember, I believe it's in the book of Mark, where Jesus said, you need to come apart and rest a while. He had to go out to the wilderness to get away from everything. And what did He do? It guides Him to where God wanted Him to be, right? It tells us that we steal away for a little while, get away from the hustle and bustle of this world, the troubles of this world. If we would do like Matthew 6 and find our prayer closet, I believe that we would find peace that passeth all understanding, and we'd find strength to get us through these days that come by. He said, but after you have suffered a while, look at what it says that God's going to make us. Make you perfect, that's complete, mature. Establish, strengthen, settle you. The things that God will do for us. See, we can't help ourselves. We can't fix ourselves. I know a lot of times you'll see people that go to these meetings. Well, I don't need these AA meetings. I don't need these addiction programs. I can do it myself. And yes, while you may be able to quit drinking by yourself. You may have to cut drugs off by yourself. You may have to quit smoking by yourself. You may have to quit cussing by yourself. You may be able to quit doing these things by yourself. I'm telling you today, if you're going to be what God wants you to be, you cannot do it by yourself. You need God. You need God's help, you need God's touch, you need God's love, you need God just to wrap His arms around you and help you with everything you've got going on. He will do those things. It says, but the God of all grace, I love that word grace, favors what it means, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. He has a plan for us that was made by grace. After that you have suffered a little while. You know what? We just think it's bad. It might get a whole lot worse than what we think it's going to get. This thing might get a whole lot worse, but let me tell you something. The Bible says this too shall pass. We're here, we're saved today. We have nothing to fear. I like that verse that we might have went by a little too fast. Let's slow down. After ye have suffered a while, but look above that suffered, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. His eternal glory. We're going home one day. And I don't know when that day will be. I don't know what's going to happen with this world. I don't know what's going to happen with the stock market. I don't know what's going to happen with our jobs. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm here to tell you today that the church is not this building, but we are the church. And we can still worship. We can serve. We can love. We can check on each other. We can do everything that God wants us to do. I believe a lot of times it's got us so nervous because we're out of our comfort level. I've been out of my comfort level the past few days. Been trying to record videos. I keep talking from the camera. There's things that I struggle with in life. But I know this. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. We can do all things. This text today is for all those distracted, depressed, and those that have just doubted in the days that we're living in. But I'm going to read it one more time. He said, the psalmist said in Psalms 46, be still and know that I am God. I want to encourage you today, church, stay in your Bible. Stay in this thing. I'm going to stay in it with you, and I want you to stay in it with me, and we're going to get through this. I love you today. Our prayer is that you just stay with God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we love you this morning, and we thank you for helping us and standing with us. Thank you for our Word of God that speaks to us. God, we just pray this morning for all those, Lord, that are just looking for answers. God, the lost out there. Lord, let this plant seeds to them. God, help us to get out and witness. Lord, we know that they want us to keep in, but God, we know that you're the God of all things, and you can open doors for ministry, whether it be on tablets, cell phones, whether us that are going to work can spread that gospel. These times that we're living in, people are just scared and they're fearful. God, help us to just keep looking up and focus on you, Father, for we know that you know everything that's going on. We sure do love you, and we thank you for how you touch us and how you help us breathe on the church. God, we pray now, Lord, that you just might send help to all those out under the sound of our voice, God, that we'd be strengthened. Lord, thank you for Jesus and that march up Calvary's Hill. Thank you for the song that was sung this morning, Father, that we still trust you. God, help us to hold on to the promises of God, Lord, for we know that they're true and faithful. We love you and we trust you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now for just a few announcements. Please remember, there'll be no video feed tonight. This will be all for today. We will be doing something Wednesday night from our home. We should be going live, but we'll let you know about that. Please, church, check on each other. Let's love each other. If any of you out there need groceries, help, you let us know what we can do to be a help to you. But we're going to make it through this together. We're going to make it through this together. I love every one of you. Thankful for it. Don't forget, I know there's nobody here at church this morning, but church business still goes on. We still need tithes and offerings. Those are God, so give those to Him. You can mail those to the church, P.O. Box 213, Somerville, Alabama, 35670. Let's just trust God through this, and we're going to make it through everything that comes our way. God bless you. We love you, and we're praying for you. And also on another note, please remember Miss Janice Russell that's still in the hospital. Keep lifting her up, and Brother Lonnie, they can't have visitors. He can't even go up there and see her. Please pray for that family. I know that she was still on oxygen, and they're trying to just get everything sorted back out. So please lift her up and lift one another up too. We love you and thank you.